So just to pick up a little bit from yesterday, in terms of the Aim Lemikra and Aim Lemesores, and Tosus's point that we only say that when they're contradicting each other, it's a very, very difficult topic. I mean, there are, for instance, if you look at the end of this Tosos, you see in the brackets, it's got like six more Tosos that it tells you to look at. That's not a good sign. And this Tosos, by the way, just leaves off with a question. I mean, most of them, he just can't figure certain things out. Like, there are certain things in this sugya of Yesh Ein Lemikra, Yesh Ein Lemesores that just don't work out smoothly. And then you have the question that you guys were asking, that the Tosos says, for instance, he says that this is only a question. Everybody really holds you darshan the mikra and the mesores, because lo alchinam nichtav kein. Right? It's not written that way for nothing. Has to be some reason. And then he proceeds to try to prove his point. Right? He says, Kid Ashkechan Rabbi Akiva Bereish Sanhedrin Desava Yesh Eim LeMikra. In other words, he holds Yesh Eim LeMikra. But we also see in Psachim, he darshans Lechem Oni and Lechem Oni. He darshans both of them for different things. Onim Dvarim Harbe and Lechem Oni, that you have to make it in a, without you know, adding stuff in, whatever it is. But that's an example of where they're not makhish each other. Because Oni has one idea and Oni has a different idea. They're not contradicting. Okay? But then he says, and also in Lulav HaGazel, Rabbi Akiva says, so in other words, just he's trying to show you that even though the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva holds Yesh Eim LeMikra, that's his Shita, we still see he's Darshan's Mesores in other cases. Mm-hmm. So it must be there's no contradiction. And then he says, and later on, he darshins that you need one lula from kapos, because it's written kapas. Now that just doesn't make sense, right? Because that is aim lim, that, yeah, how many are there? Is it one or two? Mikra is telling you two, and Mesores is telling you one. So how does Tosus just sneaks to bring that in like it's a raya, that Rabbi Akiva darshins the Mesores when there's no contradiction? Here there is a contradiction. So the Marsha is very bothered by that question. And he's very bothered by that question. And I saw the Maharam in Sanhedrin, he gives an interesting answer. He wants to say that you darshan them both. That kapos is telling you it has to be a bushy thing. Like that is a drusha, something that you can tie up, that spreads out and that you can tie up. So that's a description of the dekel. It's a description of the type of the part of the plant that we're talking about. But kapas is darshaning one, so it's really not makhish each other. There is a drusha of one, and there's a drusha that it's an overflowing kind of a thing. You know what I mean? Or else he gives a different answer. He wants to say that there's a drusha, there's a sheet that it holds, there's one lulav for the in the mikdash, and there's one lulav in outside, so it's two. But whatever it is. So, but that's the point. But another example is in Kiddushin, where the Gemara has a question of if a father sells his daughter as a shifcha, and then she's freed, can he sell her again? And it goes through, again, the question of yesh eim lemikra and yesh eim lemesores. And it comes out there are three shitas over there. And the Gemara says it's totally on whether you go with mesores, with mikra, or with both. And that's what Tosis mentioned earlier. Rav Shimon holds you go with both.
There's a
both over there. So it just becomes very, very confusing. And that's the one question that Tosis cannot figure out. Why Rabbi Akiva doesn't say both over here in Kedushin? Because they're not contradicting each other. One is telling, because there are two questions. If she was married And then there's three positions. Mocher adam esbito leishus vishona. He can sell her as a leishus and repeat it. Leshifchus vishona and repeat it. Leishus acha shifchus, but not leshifchus acha ishus. All right, so in other words, there are, that's one possibility. The only thing that's also is shifchus achar ishus. And Rabbi Shimon says he can't do shifchus achar ishus or, he can't do what? Just like he can't do shifchus achar ishus, he also can't do shifchus achar shifchus. And then the Gemara says, it depends on how you learn the word bivigdo. Now, if you want a little bit of a grammar lesson, you take a look at that Gemara. But the point is, bigdo could either mean bogad ba, mean he like afflicted her, right? Or it could mean beged, like he threw his talis over, which is an illusion for marriage. So the Gemara says, you can darshan them both. It's not a contradiction. It could be two isurim. Once she was married, you can't repeat it, and once she was sold to slave, to have the shifchus, you can't repeat it. There's not necessarily a contradiction over there. But Rashi in Kiddushin is very interesting. He says like this. He says Yesh Aim Lemikra Ula Masoras. It's on Yud Ches on the base. Hilkach Dorish Teravayu. He darshens both. Vim Tomra Hadarmina Besanhedrin Gabi Besukos 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 the Rabbi Shimon Yesh Aim Lemikra. So this is Rabbi Shimon in Kiddushin. That's what Tosis mentions. That Rabbi Shimon in Kiddushin says you darshan Mikra and Mesoras. So Rashi asks, how come over here it says he does both, and by Sukkah it says he only does Mikra? Right? So he says, like Tosis, Hasam leka lemeima mikra u'mesoras. You can't darshan both by sukkah. De'i ise lahai, leise lahai. If it's one, it's not the other. If it's three walls that are good, then if you need three walls to be machshir the sukkah, then you can't darshan the mikra. That tells you you need four. And if it's possible with three walls, you can't darshan the mesoras. But over here, it's possible to be kind of both of them. So that's, I just wanted to give you the fuller picture. I mean, it's not easy to figure out, though. There's a lot of different sheets here. But it does seem that, that's Tosis' main question. Why Rabbi Akiva and Kiddushin doesn't darshan both? Everywhere this topic comes up, he has that question. And I don't think he gives any answers to it ever. But in general, his sheet is that's the way it should be. There must be some reason for Rabbi Akiva not doing it over there. But his general rule is you should go with both as long as there's no stira. And when there's a stira, now you have a question of which one is the ikar. Yeah. So the way we were trying to define it yesterday, the way we started talking about it yesterday is that how we started with a premise that Mikra really would seem, Mesoras would seem to be the Iker. Because, like we were saying, that is the difference between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? The way it's written is the whole Kedusha of Torah Shebichtav. The way it's read is all part of the realm of Torah Shebaal Peh. So you should say that the Iker is the way it's written. That's the essential kedusha of the Torah Shebichtav. But the other side holds what? He holds that the whole entity of writing is only to facilitate. Is only to facilitate reading, right? So the ikar always is the content, the idea that's conveyed. So then what's the difference between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh? We always go by the way it's understood, not the way it's written. And what is the difference between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh? It really is that Torah Shebichtav means that it has a fixed kriya. There is a fixed definitive kriya. Torah Shabbat Peh, you can't say there's a fixed definitive statement of Torah Shabbat Peh. In Torah Shabbat Peh, the ikkar is just the limud. It's when there's nothing special about specific phraseology in Torah Shabbat Peh. There is no specific phraseology in Torah Shabbat Peh. The whole thing is conveying a certain idea. We need words to convey the idea, but there's no special place to any particular phrase in Torah Shabbat Peh. The kedusha, what differentiates Torah Shebichsav from Torah Shabbat Peh, is not that the ksav is the ikker, as opposed to the reading, but that it's a different kind of a Torah Shabbat Peh, so to speak. It's a kriya, which is definitive. It's fixed by the ksav. So the ksav demands a specific content to the limud. But it's not that the cheftza, as a cheftza, has a supremacy. In other words, what I'm trying to say is like this, that the difference between, I want to say it's a question of how you differentiate Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. If you say Torah Shebichsav means that the cheftza of the ksav is the ikker, that's what, how do we differentiate, how do we distinguish Torah Shebichsav from Torah Shebaal Peh? We'll say that in Torah Shebichsav there's an ikker in the cheftza. The cheftza that was mosar from Sinai as an entity has kedusha, whereas Torah Shebaal Peh has no cheftza of kedusha. So then when you want to know what's the ikker, let me put it this way: all of the reading is only a utilization of the ksav, but the ksav has to be supreme. You can't have a use of something that contradicts the thing itself. So when there's a hakhasha between the ksav and what the reading is, we must say that the cheftza, the entity, is going to be the supreme. Is going to have the last word, because the kriya is just telling you how to use the cheftza. We use the cheftza to read it. But it's a tashmish of the cheftza. So a tashmish of the cheftza can't be you can't contradict the cheftza. It could augment it, it could have another reason, it could have a further drusha from it. But bottom line, when they're at odds, there has to be something that is the ikkar. So what is the ikkar? The ikkar is the cheftza. The kriya is just like how we're doresh, how we understand the cheftza, how we access the content. But it's not something. So now when you have two things that are contradicting each other, you have to answer which is serving which. Which is the ikker, which is the cheftza, and what is the maisa, so to speak. So if the ksav is the ikker, and the kriya is what we do with the ksav, then the kriya can't contradict the ksav. So if we have two different things, one from the ksav and one from the kriya, we have to say the ikkar is the ksav. But if you're gonna learn that that's not the difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, the difference really is there's no such, everything is limud. And limud does not exist on a piece of paper. Limud only exists in a person who is Osake in an activity of deciphering, of kriya. Kriya is where the latent content of the Torah becomes actualized. The Torah sitting in a box all alone, nobody ever reading it, doesn't have any. It's not existing as an idea anymore. It's potential, but it's not a reality. So then the ikkar is the reality that that the actualization of the Torah, I should say, the actualization is always Kriya. So what is, just like all Lima, just like all Torah Sheba'al Peh, is only existing when it's only truly existing when it's actualized. You know what I mean by that? I mean like this. In other words, it's an important philosophical idea. The Rambam talks about it a lot in terms of the nefesh. When we say, for instance, an idea, okay, a concept, like let's say Achdus Hashem is an idea, okay. When does it exist really to a person? When it's a reality to him, when his mind is thinking about it, okay, when his soul perceives it, that's when we can say that it exists in him. It's not like a piece of, it's not like I can take something and stick it in my pocket and it exists there whether I'm thinking about it or not. But the concept, the idea, what is a concept? What do we mean by an idea? An idea is not something that's floating around. When I say, do you understand what I'm saying, right? There's a certain process of getting an idea. So what do we mean by that? I could say there's a process of getting money, right? That we understand. You go, you earn a job, you work, you get a paycheck, you put it in your, that's all very nice, that's all very simple. But what do we mean by getting an idea, right? Does it mean that there's an idea that's floating around and we need to catch it, right? And then somehow inject it into our brain? Obviously not. So what does it mean that I have the idea? It means that my mind is perceiving its truth. You understand? So the very act of thinking about it is what we mean by having it. And it only is considered that you have it if it's something that is a reality to your mind. You understand? So that's really teaching. That's the whole secret of teaching. That there's no way to really give somebody any knowledge. All you can do is give them the ability to use their minds to perceive what you're perceiving. But I can't take it and give it to them like a paycheck. Okay? So the point I'm trying to make, though, is... Yeah, Zach, you have a question? So therefore, he's learning that the ikar of Torah is when it's actualized. And that's Kriya. That's Kriya. Right? It's only a potential in Ksav. So then the Kriya is always the ikar, because that's what Torah is. It's knowledge. So what is the difference then between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh? The only difference is that there's a fixed format of the Kriya. There's a fixed formula of the dibur that contains the idea. As opposed, in other words, when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, it wouldn't be enough to just verbalize some concept of Achdus Hashem. It has to be in that particular format. Your idea of Achdus must arrive at the concept of your knowledge of Achdus for the mitzvah of Kriya Shema through this particular fixed Kriya. So the Torah Shebichsav is different from Torah Shebaal Peh, not in the entity really. It's always an entity of reading and Kriya and thinking. That's always the entity. The difference is that in Torah Shebichsav there's a fixed entity of Kriya. The Ksav fixes the entity of Kriya. But the Ikar is for the Kriya. So the way it's read and the way it's understood would be the overriding dominant thing. It's just serving the Kriya. You understand? That's what, conceptually, it's which is really facilitating which. Do you say that Torah Shebichsav, there's a certain Kedushas Cheftza of Ksav, and then we use it through the Maisa Kriya, or we're saying no, there's no such thing as a Kedusha of a Cheftza. The Cheftza is really only, that's not the essence. The essence is always the Yediya. The whole Kedusha of the Cheftza is that it facilitates a certain Yediya. And the difference between this and any other Yediya of Torah Sheba'al Peh is that there's a format, there's a Matbeah. But in Torah Sheba'al Peh there's no Matbeah. You can teach a Mishnah this way, you can write a Mishnah another way, you can write a Mishnah 100 ways. No difference.
So what would he say?
Now, in terms of the question of Yesh, if you're going to say Yesh Eim LaMikra, so what's the purpose of the Mesoras? So I think there are two answers to that question. I mean, I'm looking through the Mashal, you know, he's bothered like, he's also bothered by that somewhat. But it seems like... when we say Yesh Eim LaMikra, like Tos is saying, it's when they're makdash each other. But in this case, for instance, let's take this case. What is Basukos telling us? The old Yesh Eim LaMikra, and it's telling you four walls, right? But you'll see later on, take a look at the Gemara on Tes Amud Beis. So the Mishnah says, sukkah al gabi sukkah. Okay? So the Gemara says, why is sukkah al gabi sukkah a problem? So it says, Tana Rabbanan at the two dots, bisukas teshvil, velo bisukkah shetachas sukkah. Bisukas.
So he's bisukas. Learning the singular.
So Tosfos says, vafilu lamanda omar yesh aim la mikra. So there are many, many different drushes. We don't know about half of the things that could be darshan from all these psukim. You know what I mean? So Tosus is saying, when they're makhish, he's going to learn sukkos to be six walls. Because the camp, it's either four walls or three walls. It's not both. So what is the mesoras for? We don't know half the time it could be. But for instance, here we know. It's telling you that you can't have a sukkah under a sukkah. So there's another thing that's not makhish, this drasha, that it could be used for. Or like Matt is saying, it could just be used as a drasha, like Rabbi Kiva was doresh the crowns. So on the letters. So I think that's true. But predominantly, we're going to look for a halachic, right? You can't just say, oh, so that's it. That solves the lolachinam problem, right? It's going to be, we always look for our halachic thing first, and then if there's no halachic thing, then it could just be a concept that's being taught. Okay, some midah, some derech of midos. There are a lot of things. It's hard for us to figure out what those things that aren't mentioned are. But a lot of times you see the Gemara. A lot of times the Gemara will go through a Shakla Vitaria, and Tosu will say, what happens to this pasuk for him? He'll say, he must have had some other drasha. A lot of times that's what the Tosu will say. He must have had some other drasha. It wasn't recorded. We don't know what it was. Okay. Yeah, so the Ritva takes up a basic question over here. The Ritva in Sukkah is fantastic. I mean, I don't know what happened. The older ones don't have half of the things. I'm not sure exactly how they filled in all these blanks here, but the old printings don't have anything on this staff, for instance. Okay, I guess you can look into the historical fact. But over here, he says like this. He's bothered by a technical question. The Gemara says, "B'mai pligi rabbanan sovri yesh eim l'mesores." So then it's basukos choser, basukos choser, basukos mole, right? Harekan arba, that's four. Dalchad legufe, knock off one, that gets you down to three, right? Pirish chad kra. It really means knock off one posuk. Doesn't mean knock off one of the entities of the sukkah that were posited by the posuk. It means knock off one full
plural.
One full word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The whole word of sukkahs. Vahadlo pirish dalchad krok at the pirish Rabbi Shimon. So why doesn't it say it? That's what he's bothered with. Why does it say by Rabbi Shimon dalchad krok? And by the Rabbanan it just says dalchad. He says Mishum Rabbanan came into Darshi Mesores Kule Basukos Chad. The whole word Basukos only refers to one. So that's all it needs to say. Avobidi Rebbe Shimon, the Darsh Mikra, umashmatarti ilu arminan dal chad hava mashmachad sukkah umishtairi chamisha the kol chad minayu mashmatrei ulach yitzrich lemeimar dekula basukos kama legufe yitzrich. So it's very nice. I mean, explaining it very clearly, right? In other words, by Rabbi Shimon, he darshins the kra, the mikra. So the first word, basukos, he reads it as a plural, two entities. If the Gemara would have just said dal chad, it would have sounded like knock off one of the two.
Make it five.
Then you'd have a funny looking sukkah, a pentagon. But it doesn't want you to think that, so it says knock off the whole pasuk. But really it's the same thing for both. Since there's only one sukkah in the Mesoras, it just says dal chad. But by Rabbi Shimon, it has two sukkahs in the kra, so it has to say dal chad kra. Okay? But that begs the question, right? That begs the question. The following question. V'chi tema v'amai dorish kule basukos kama legufe. So why is the first whole reference to it to legufe? What does legufe mean? Where are we touching this, right? It means it has to be introduced. You can't not have the word sukkah, you wouldn't know what to do, right? So you can't say the very reference to the thing is extra to allow you to darshan something about it. Right? When you darshan something, it means there's something extra. The very introduction of the thing can't be extra. It's legufe. Now it says it three times, whatever it is, you say, okay, so those are extra references. But the thing itself is not extra. Right? So his question is, but since you doresh the mikra, and it says basukos, therefore, in the very first reference, which is a double. So why isn't the second one extra already? Right? That's his question, no? Ika lemeimar dehalo motzinu lemichtav ulemikri besukas. It couldn't have written and read, it couldn't be written and read besukas. The lav klumu, that's nothing.
Is that a word?
It's like smichus, right? Besukas shel. Right? It wouldn't make sense in the pasuk. Ki besukas. Besukas. Teshu. What does that mean? Besukas teshu.
Besukas who?
Exactly.
Besukas.
Oh, that's what he was saying. Fine.
Right. I think that's what he's saying. It can't mean. It's just not grammatically right.
I thought it was trying to say the singular thing, everyone's sitting in one.
Oh, that's the next one. That's the next one. So it couldn't have been written and read besukas. Velo motzi lemichtav nami besuka teshu. Is that the first one? Yeah. Besukot teshu, which would be singular. Demashma sheyechova sheyeshu kol Yisrael besuka achas. Ulachi kosav besukos legufe, came nearly. Meaning to say what? That this was the shortest possible way to introduce the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah in the first instance of the pasuk. So even though it's plural, there's not one extra.
So then we'd have.
What's interesting is he's admitting you can't read the sukkahs. That's what's interesting. What's interesting is in the science of yesh aim lemesores, it doesn't mean that it could be read that way. That's what I find interesting. Right? Is that true or am I making a mistake? Let's take the next one. Can you say sukkas in the second one?
If there's a lot of clothes, why does he need the
No, as he said, no, as let's take the one who holds Yesh Eim L'Mesoras. Right? Let's take that Shita. Okay? So he says Besukas is one. Besukas, I'm adding as I go, is two. Besukos is four. Right? But the Ritva just said you can't read Besukas in the first Pasuk, in the first Mikra. It doesn't make sense.
Oh, yeah. Sure. So how does Rabbanan's whole thing make sense? Yeah.
So that's what's interesting.
Why is there...
Why is that even...
Can you repeat that?
That's the whole thing. That's the whole sheet of it.
I know, but I don't know if we all understood exactly what it meant by the Yesh Eim L'Mesoras. Now, Yesh Eim L'Mesoras, it doesn't simply mean a creek sieve, like we were discussing yesterday. It's more subtle than that, right? The fact that the word is spelled Choser, right, and it's not pronounced the way it's spelled, that itself is for a limud. It doesn't mean that you read it, that you could read the pasuk al pi misores and make sense out of it.
Why would it mean that?
Why would it mean that?
Yeah.
That's the way you would think about it. What is the ikar, misores or mikra? So you say, well, if the misores is telling you one thing, and the mikra is telling you another thing, but now he's telling you the misores doesn't make any sense.
It's still written though.
But it's not telling you anything. What does it mean, basukas teshu? That's not a valid expression. It's not a valid way to say that, to say something. In other words, it's not like you read it two ways and you get content from the way you read it alpi misores, and you get content from the way you read it alpi mikra. It really can only be read even over here. It's only read alpi mikra. It only makes sense alpi mikra. But the fact that it was changed by the Mesoras indicates something else. Right, because it really has to do with the Ksav itself. It has to do with the Ksav itself, with the Ksiva itself. The Cheftza of Ksiva, as a Cheftza of Ksiva, it's considered the Chaser. So if you hold Yesh Eim L'Mesoras, then there's a drasha, why is the entity of the ksav diminished? Right? It's not betoras reading it without the vav. That's not all it's about. It's about taking out the vav. It's true, it does change the word. Rashi says it's mashma yochad, right? What did I say? Mashmachada. But it's like an allusion to an idea. It doesn't mean that there's really a way to read it that way. What do you have? You have like by the Nesi'im, it says, right? By the Nesi'im, it says it was written without a yud. Right? So Rashi says, that's like you were mentioning. It's chaser to show that there was something lacking in their nedava. Right? They said, I'll wait till the end and see what needs to be given. That's... So it's written, even though over there, it's written chaser to indicate that there was something chaser. Okay. All right. So we're just trying to get down to some of the more technical points here. In other words, why can't you apply the same method that the Ritva applied to the first one on the second one? You'll say, why did it say? How do you darshan two out of the second basukos? What else could it have written? If it would have written sukas and it should have been read sukas, that just doesn't make sense. And to say basukah would be a problem. Right. So you could answer like this. You could answer, once it said basukos the first time, we know you don't have to sit in one pasuk. And then we would interpret Yeshu Basuka means each one in his own sukkah. Because Yeshu Basuka is ambiguous, it's an ambiguous phrase. Doesn't mean they all sit in their own sukkah, each one in his own, or all of them in one. So you could say, if it would have said that the first time, once you eliminate that possibility of the first time, you don't have to worry about the second time. Or you could say, like Matt saying, we could have written it in a whole different way. I think Matt's answer is right. In other words, it didn't have to say it at all. That's what we're saying. Once you have one pasuk legufe, then you don't need any more references. So then, it's only coming in to tell you something new. So it could have said it any way it wanted to. So the fact that it structured the phraseology of Sukkos as opposed to choosing a phrase that would come out Sukkah, that would be that's a reboy. But when it's introducing the idea Basukkos Teshu, that's introducing the halacha itself, that you don't need to sit in one sukkah. What kind of havamina? That would be a difficult havamina, but that would be a difficult halacha if everybody had to sit in one sukkah. But okay, let's go on. We'll never get out of this problem entirely. I would like to finish up some of this gemara though. Okay, can we go on to the next topic? Okay, so let me just let's just think about the more essential question here, in sukkah that is, and that is, what's the concept of saying that the pasuk is telling you how many walls, and then the halacha Moshe Sinai is reducing one? What kind of an idea is that? Can we understand that? Can we understand the combination of the Torah, of the pasuk telling you this is the amount of walls you need, and for some reason Halacha Moshe Mishinai is taking back a little bit of what the Torah is giving? And the Torah is telling, I mean, what kind of sense does that make? The Torah is telling you three walls or four walls. And the Halacha Moshe Mishinai is saying, whoa, slow down. Take off the last one and switch it with a tevach. It seems like a contradictory kind of a system. Like one is giving you one thing and the other one is removing it and replacing it with a teva. And how do you know, and why is it on the last one? Why is it the last one is the one that's subject to this reduction? Okay. The last wall.
But isn't it like whatever wall is then the last one?
Right, but you wouldn't say, for instance, if you say it's three walls, so then you say it's two walls and a tefach, right? But if it's four walls, you wouldn't say it's two walls and then two tefachim. Tefach here and a tefach here. Let's say you're going to learn like a Rashi had, that you have a kamin gam, and you put one tefach on the corner. So maybe four walls, you put one tefach on the corner and one tefach on the other corner. I mean, well, let me just put it this way. I have a problem. I have a conception. I have a problem with saying this is what you need, but this will do. Just that whole idea of saying, Torah says you need four walls, you need three walls, and the Halacha Moshe Mishinai telling you, but this is enough. So what does it mean you need it? So what did it mean by needing it? I mean, did you need it for a real reason? If you really need a wall, then how can a tefach substitute? And if a tefach can substitute for a wall, so maybe you can have it. Maybe the whole thing can just be out of tefachim. A tefach here, a tefach here, a tefach there. In other words, why is that more crazy than saying this tefach will be the last wall? Why is it sound crazy if I tell you you need four walls, but you can put a tefach on each side and that will be enough? As opposed to saying you need four walls, but as long as you have three real ones, the fourth one is okay. Well, then, what did I mean that you needed four walls? I mean, how come we could admit to substituting a tefach for the fourth or the third wall, but not for the other two? And if you hold it's four walls, then you say this: the tefach can't substitute for the third wall. So then, how come the first guy holds it can substitute for the third wall? Is the third wall a real wall? Is it, and what's the idea? In other words, like I was saying yesterday, if I said you need, it would be like what the Torah said, you need to eat matzah on Pesach, but a carrot will count as matzah. Halach l'mosh v'sinai. The Torah says, ba'erev tochu matzos. Halach l'mosh v'sinai says, a carrot is enough. That's a matzah. Would that make any sense? Would that make any sense? So then why does that make more sense to say you need four walls? We all know what a wall is. And then say, but a tefach is good. So then it shouldn't say you need four walls. You know, so Zach is saying, because if you just had a tefach on the north side, a tefach on the south side, a tefach on the east side, so then you wouldn't have a dira. You wouldn't have a dira. Okay. So then, okay, you wouldn't have a dira. Okay, good.
So that is that.
Okay, so they're saying like this, that there's sometimes you have a machitza that actually creates a reality. Right, a machitza. There's a machitza that creates a reality, really effectuates a change in the space. In other words, what does the machitza do? It's mavdil from makom to makom. That's what a machitza does. Right, it breaks up an area into two areas. Right, you have a machitza down the shul, so now you have a men's section and a women's section. Right. So you have kiloyim, you have your wheat growing and you have your grapes growing. What you can't do that. You put a mechitza up, it's fine. Even in Tzuras HaPesach, it's fine over there. Okay, it creates a hevdel, a distinction, a differentiation. So in Sukkah, what they're learning is, and this is what the Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai is telling you. In conjunction, it's telling you, although the Torah is telling you, although the Mikra, the Pasuk, is telling you a certain number of walls, they're not all the same. That's exactly what the Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai is telling you. They're not the same kinds of walls. All but one of them is really functional. So let's take the three and let's say like Rashi, two and one. Let's take the first one. Okay. Why does Rashi say it has to be Dafka Kamin Gam, those two? Why does it Dafka have to be Kamin Gam? Because if you had two parallel walls, what would you do? You could say I demarcated space, right? If I have a wall here and a wall here, you can say, well, there's space between the walls. So I've identified space. All right, let's say I wanted to show you where my spot is going to be. So two walls would be sufficient to demarcate an area, mm-hmm. Right? One wall is not, because you don't know how far it's going to go. Two walls, you could say, in theory, is demarcating a makom, mm-hmm. Because you have now the length and the width of the makom, right? If one wall is longer than the other, it gets a little confusing. But let's assume that they're equal. Gil, right?
Yeah.
So now you've got the space between the walls. That's the space. But what does Kimin Gam accomplish? Yeah, Chaim?
Well, if you have parallels, you can just say, oh, well, it's not really just this.
So Chaim is introducing a new word over here. Not just demarcated. Two walls can demarcate a space, so delineate a space, right? Delineate lines. But it doesn't what?
It doesn't enclose.
It doesn't enclose. What does enclose mean? What do you mean by that term?
Sealing it off from traffic.
From traffic, let's say. In other words, it's a dira concept. I can demarcate makom, but that's to just show you a place. I want you to know, here's a place. But if I want it to function as dira, it has to really be that it's broken off functionally from the rest. So two parallel walls could be a great way to direct traffic. You wouldn't want that to be your living room, right? Kimin gam, you can't go through the space that's Kamin Gam. You must go around Kamin Gam. So if the Torah is telling you there are two, if the psukim of three walls plus the Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai is setting up a system of two walls of function, we'll discuss the third wall in a second, it must be, and we're in the context of Dira, Rashi's learning, the plame shot is that it's going to be two walls that are configured to produce a function of dira. That must be two walls kimingam. So the Torah is telling you, where does the function of dira come from? Kimingam, two walls. What's the third one? It's not easy what the third one is. Yeah. And it's going to depend, I think, on a lot of what you're going to say later, what's going to come up later.
It's like the tefach, like you...
All right, so in terms of the tefach, we have to keep our minds open on this point. But it would seem that the basic idea is you're saying there's some essential characteristic that's derived from the two walls, and anything that's essential to the walls cannot just be substituted. You can't say, look, you need to be mavdil the space from traffic, right? You have to break off this area and make it. Make it out of the flow of traffic. But a tefach will substitute. No, that's not possible. It's like saying switch a matzah for a carrot. It's an essential thing. You can't substitute something that's essential. Right? If there's an idea of that's essential, it's impossible to substitute it. So then you're going to say the two, according to each shita, there's something essential in the first set of walls. That cannot be substituted with Halacha Moshe Misinai. It's just not subject to that concept. That's just impossible. But there's something additional that the last wall is doing. What is the addition? That we have to think about. One possibility is this. I'll just throw out a possibility. One possibility is there's an entity of Cheftza, of Sukkah itself. The Sukkah maybe has to reflect a certain idea. So functionally, you break off the space. But there's a different concept between a three-walled structure and a two-walled structure. It maybe reflects something different. So you only need a hecker on the fourth, on the third wall to just give a shame. In terms of the structure, I can say it's a three-walled structure. In terms of the function, it breaks off the traffic that needs to. But in terms of identifying it as a three-walled structure or a two-walled structure, Halacha Moshe says, since the third wall is just for the shame of a three-walled structure, it's enough. Something, you know what I mean? It's a more flexible way of looking at it. So we'll go into that. That really all has to do with the next sugya, Omar Rav. I'm sorry, va'oso tefach heichon ma'amida. Where do you put that? Where do you put that last tefach? Where do you put it? That's going to depend on what that extra concept the tefach is adding. So it's very hard to, like I said yesterday, to give a definition now that's going to work. You could just say it must be adding, it must be there's an ikker and then an addition.
So you got to get like all the cases down and then...
You got to see, right. So for instance, the Tosis mentions, the Gemara mentions later on, that one of the concepts of three walls versus four walls is Diras Keva versus Diras Arai. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon holds Diras Keva Bo'inan, because he holds you need four. So that's a difference.
That's the Machlokas.
It's not clear what the Machlokas, that's a part of it, that's an element of it.
Yeah,